Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, March 29th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, John Calipari back on the recruiting trail. What else is new? A UK football transfer sticks it to his former coach. Or does he? Who's the starting quarterback for UK football? One preseason magazine seems to differ from everybody else. We prepare for the Final Four and look at the most underachieving coach in all of college basketball, and he's not named John Calipari, shocking the Big Blue Nation. Why the best running back in the NFL draft may or may not get drafted. The Reds could possibly have the worst starting rotation in the history of baseball. And of course, we find yet another college basketball game to pick tonight in the mighty CIT tournament, whatever that stands for. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky basketball is done for this season, but it's not really done for John Calipari as he's on the recruiting trail now. The big McDonald's All-American game will be this weekend. And there was a study done that the All-American game in 2013, of those 25 players, 13 are not going to be playing in the NBA. So when people say, oh, we've got so many McDonald's All-Americans, in reality, it doesn't really mean a whole lot now, does it? But of course, half these kids are either going to go to Kentucky or Duke. So really, what does it matter anyway? In fact, I was reading something this morning where I looked on Twitter and a kid who was trending, his name was Zion Williamson. And I'm like, I don't know who Zion Williamson is. So I clicked on his name. He's a recruit from the 2018 class. Not this year. He wouldn't start school until a year and a half from now. So even if this kid went to Kentucky, and the reason why trending on Twitter was because Kentucky made him an offer. So the very earliest he would play a game for the University of Kentucky would be 20 months from now, 2-0. And yet, he's trending on Twitter, and Big Blue Nation is going crazy over him. Perspective, ladies and gentlemen. That's what sports does to people. What makes guys do things that they regret? What makes guys look embarrassing and humiliating? Two things in life. Really hot women and sports. Those are the two biggest things in life that makes guys make bad decisions. And for a kid just finishing up his junior year in high school to be trending on Twitter, that is a bad decision. I'll never understand this recruiting thing. I understand it from a coach's perspective, from a program perspective, because that's how you win games. Calipari's the best recruiter in the country. It's not even close. That's why he wins. It's not because he's a genius on the sidelines. It's because he has the best players. But for fans to sit here and grovel and salivate over some kids who are juniors and sophomores in high school, why don't you step back for a minute? It's like the infamous time when William Shatner was on Saturday Night Live and he was at the Star Trek convention and he told all the fans there to get a life, will you people? There's a real world out there. And he looked at a bunch of these loser guys and said, I bet a bunch of you guys haven't even kissed a girl. And then all of their heads just bowed down in shame. Something tells me a lot of these people who are following college basketball recruiting classes for 2018 are much like the Star Trek convention losers who haven't kissed girls. Just saying. If that hits home, my apologies.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the Gambletron 2000 says the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Bye, you worthless hunk of junk.
Also on the local front, John Higgins has now hired investigators from the FBI to follow up on the death threats that he's now received on social media. And that's where we are as a society, ladies and gentlemen. What is Big Blue Nation doing? Obsessing over kids who are sophomores and juniors in high school and threatening referees who allegedly screwed them over in the tournament. Not a good look for Big Blue Nation this week. It's one thing to make up funny insults like he clogged my toilet or something like that when he did a roofing job. It's another thing to give death threats. That's just a you problem.
We are present at the Dirty Dozens game board where talking trash can get you cash, and you might be the champ if your mama's a tramp.
The chaos and anarchy still coming in from Kentucky's loss over the weekend. San Diego manager Andy Green, who is a graduate of the University of Kentucky, made one of his players, catcher Austin Hedges, a huge UCLA fan, made the catcher wear a Kentucky basketball uniform during the entire spring training drills they had yesterday. They showed some pictures of it. All the other players were in baseball uniforms, while Austin Hedges was wearing nothing but a Kentucky jersey and shorts. What does this teach you? Rule number one about business. Never bet with your boss. If you play golf, if you have a round of golf with your boss, if you're playing any kind of little game with your boss, let him win. You've seen the sitcoms, you've seen the TV shows where the employer wants to let the boss win and then at the last minute he changes his mind. Yeah, forget that. Always let your boss win. It can only help you, not hurt you in the long run.
Now then, Bobby Heenan, at the risk of sounding negative, you look awful.
What a nice guy you are. You look awful.
Terrible.
I feel horrible. But one good thing, if I dropped dead on the spot, I wouldn't look as bad as you do, you miserable...
Speaking of Kentucky sports, Jeff Badette, who was the leading receiver for Kentucky last year, left Kentucky, and now he's going to Oklahoma. So now his head coach was formerly Mark Stoops, and now it's Bob Stoops. Huh. Oklahoma's got a much better chance at winning the national championship than Kentucky. Are we getting to a point now where Kentucky could just be a farm system for Oklahoma? As soon as you get a graduate transfer, a kid who can graduate and still has a year of eligibility, if he's good enough, he can just leave Kentucky and go to Oklahoma. Make Oklahoma a better team. And hopefully they can get over the top to win the national championship. That's a very good idea. So Kentucky can supply 2-3 players a year to Oklahoma. And it might be just enough to push them over the top. That's a darn good concept. It's like Kentucky might be the AAA team for Oklahoma now. Brilliant.
I've always believed brains will defeat brawn any day. I give you the genius.
Speaking of Kentucky football, the Athlon Preseason Magazine, who's been around for about 175 years, they came out and they ranked all the Division I starting quarterbacks in college football for the coming season. And at number 76 on the list was Kentucky quarterback Drew Barker. Wait a minute. I thought Steven Johnson was the starting quarterback. Why is Athlon, seemingly other than Phil Steele, the only preseason magazine people talk about anymore? Why in God's name do they have Drew Barker ranked as a starting quarterback? Huh. And then you read in the Herald later this morning that Steven Johnson is trying to pack on the pounds to get up to 200 so he can survive a full season. Huh. Do we have a quarterback controversy in Kentucky? For my money, you shouldn't have a quarterback controversy. Steven Johnson proved both on and off the field to be a much better player than Drew Barker. Then why are people still tooting the Drew Barker horn around here? Then why are people still on the Drew Barker bandwagon? I don't know, but where there's smoke, there's fire.
If I gave you a dollar, you could keep most of the change, because all I really want is a quarterback.
More college basketball. Duke is going to be much like Kentucky next year. They're going to have to reload. Jason Tatum declared for the NBA. Marcus Giles declared for the NBA. Kentucky is like Duke now. Get 3 or 4 hotshot freshmen, watch those freshmen turn pro, reload the next year with McDonald's All-Americans. It's the circle of life in big-time college basketball now. We talked yesterday, North Carolina and Kentucky was the highest-rated Elite Eight game in 10 years. Conversely, the Gonzaga-Xavier game the day before was the lowest-rated Elite Eight game in 20 years. It just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what the metrics say, it doesn't matter how good you're perceived in Las Vegas, you don't have the big name like North Carolina and Kentucky, people aren't going to watch. Remember the year George Mason made the Final Four? I think it was 11 years ago. Remember that Final Four? It's still one of the lowest rated ever because nobody remembers who George Mason was. You can't name one player on George Mason today. That was proof positive that people love these underdogs in the first round. They love watching those games, but once the first round is over, those underdogs just need to go back home because we're only interested in the big boys after that. The Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Kentuckys, the Kansases of the world. We don't want to watch Xavier and Gonzaga in the Elite Eight. And speaking of Gonzaga, they've been at this little Cinderella story run since 1999. That's 18 years. This is the 19th year in a row that they've made the NCAA tournament. What people don't remember was before this year, the best run they had was that first run in 1999. And the coach that year was a guy named Dan Monson. And after that 1999 season, he moved on to Minnesota because he thought it was a better job. Boy, was he wrong. Spent 7 years at Minnesota, won NCAA tournament, and gone. Now he's the coach at Long Beach State. While, of course, the guy who succeeded Monson at Gonzaga, Mark Few, now considered one of the greatest coaches in college basketball. So if you're Dan Monson, do you sit up every night? and just think to yourself, man, what if I had just stayed at Gonzaga? And can you even watch these tournament games with Gonzaga, especially now that they've made the Final Four? Are you rooting against them? I know one thing. If my name is Dan Monson, I'm rooting like hell against Gonzaga every time they take the court. I'd like to be a fly on the wall while he's watching the Final Four. Is he rooting for them or against them? My money says he's bitter to the end and rooting like hell against Gonzaga. But that's just me. Gonzaga is such a small school that it was estimated that 15% of their undergraduate population is going to be in attendance for the Final Four in Arizona over the weekend. And that's not exactly right down the road. Gonzaga's in Spokane, Washington. That's a pretty nice little hall. Then again, how many times do you go to your first Final Four?
And it's it! What a comeback! UCLA defeats Gonzaga after being down by 17.
UCLA moves on dramatically.
Speaking of tank jobs in the Elite Eight, it's now come to our attention. There are plenty of tournament coaches that we think underachieve. We have focused on John Calipari underachieving in the tournament for years. But I think we found a superior to John Calipari, and his name is Bill Self. Bill Self now has made 19 NCAA tournaments with Kansas, Illinois, and Tulsa. In those 19 NCAA tournaments, he's been a number one or a number two seed 11 times. He's made the Final Four twice. Once when he was literally given a national championship by John Calipari when he was at Memphis, and I'm talking given a national championship. We brought that up the other day, how Calipari and Memphis, they were up 9 points with 2 minutes to go. How do you lose that game? And of course, in 2012, when nobody thought Kansas would make the Final Four, they did anyway. In the Elite Eight, Bill Self, 2 wins, those 2 Final Fours we talked about, 5 losses. Only Sean Miller in Arizona, 0-4, is worse. But it just shows the randomness of the NCAA tournament. If you're a 1 or a 2 seed 11 times, and you only make 2 Final Fours, that's a you problem, Bill Self. He is Calipari to a higher level when it comes to failure in the tournament. Always great recruiting, always great teams, always a great seed, rarely, if ever, lives up to expectations.
Memphis, desperation time. They were so close to seeing the dream become a reality. Rose with a 3. No. Rebound, Arthur. Kansas can taste it. They come back from 9 down in regulation. A Kansas comeback for the history books. Rock Chalk Championship. Kansas takes the title.
Showtime will be showing a documentary on Friday night called Disgraced, and it focuses on Baylor basketball. Not the Baylor that we've known from the Art Briles, Ken Starr disaster over the last few months, but the Dave Bliss murder cover-up disaster from back in the early 2000s. And if you don't remember, Dave Bliss was the coach at Baylor at the time. He had a player, Patrick Dennehy, who was murdered, and he tried to cover it up because he didn't want to get busted for the money that he gave Patrick Dennehy. And he was caught on tape talking to one of his other players about creating reasonable doubt and painting him as a drug dealer. This story kind of got swept under the rug, but it's one of the worst stories in the history of college sports, where Dave Bliss, the coach of Baylor, who was obviously cheating his butt off, put his own reputation in front of a kid who was murdered. If you have Showtime, I highly recommend it, because I've seen the trailers on this. I highly recommend watching this documentary on Showtime Friday night. It's called Disgraced. And believe me, after you watch it, you'll feel dirty about all college basketball. And the funny thing is, Dave Bliss was kicked out of coaching for 10 years. Those 10 years have expired. He's now the coach at Southwest Christina College in Oklahoma. So if a turn like this can be forgiven, pretty much anybody can be forgiven. This guy should have been in jail.
Your mama's so fat, she look like she's smuggling Volkswagen.
Mama's a big old greasy hoe.
Speaking of Final Four stories, South Carolina, now of course the darling, the Wall Street Journal came out today and said that South Carolina is the angriest team in college basketball. That's not cliche or anything. Leave it to the Wall Street Journal to come up with something like that. The angriest team. Just because your coach looks mad and is always yelling at people doesn't make you the angriest team in college basketball. Would anybody say that Duke is the angriest team in college basketball? Of course not. Look at Grayson Allen, always cheap-shotting people. Look at Coach Krzyzewski. If you ever go to a Duke game, they never show this on TV a lot, but Krzyzewski is always on the refs, and I mean hard. People sleep on the fact that Coach K is almost as mean to the refs as anybody you can imagine this side of Bobby Knight. Then again, Coach K once played for Bobby Knight. It all makes sense now. The NFL. Twitter went abuzz yesterday when Jay Cutler's wife, Kristen Calaveri, former MTV reality star, showed a picture of Jay Cutler's naked butt on social media. That's where we are in the NFL right now. The biggest story is when an out-of-work quarterback, who everybody hates, gets his naked butt shown on social media. Wonderful. Joe Mixon, the former Oklahoma running back, who, of course, we all remember the video where he punched a woman right in the face. Mel Kiper Jr., draft expert, said that Mixon is easily the best running back of the draft, but it's a mystery where he will get drafted if he gets drafted at all. Oh, I can promise you he's going to get drafted. That's not the issue here. However, don't count on the New England Patriots drafting him because they've already said, hey, we're out on this guy. We don't want him. Apparently, the Patriots are only looking for white running backs. They just signed Rex Burkhead of the Bengals, and they're looking at Christian McCaffrey. And, of course, they would add to those white receivers they have, Justin Edelman, Danny Amendola, can't forget about Rob Gronkowski. Am I making the Patriots about race now? Maybe I shouldn't. Or maybe I should. Speaking of the Patriots, Roger Goodell said that he will attend the Week 1 game, the ceremonial Week 1 game with the defending Super Bowl champions on the first Thursday night of the season. Oh, I'm sure that'll go over just swimmingly. This will be his first time in New England since Deflategate and all the chaos that ensued after that. Even more reason to watch the first game of the season. Roger Goodell, let's just hope some fan just confronts him out in the lobby, you know?
And that's where it all is going forward on Seattle.
Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
But your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it?
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk to your players about this? If any of your players talk to you about this?
Seattle.
More fallout from the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Goodell also said that the league is still not backing up legalized sports gambling, but yet they have a team in the most gamble-crazy city in America, Las Vegas. This is not the pot calling the kettle black. The NFL is all about gambling. There's a reason why it's the number one sport in the world, because it's the easiest sport to gamble on. That's simple. Simple math. Why do you think fantasy football is so big? For the love of the game? No, for the cashing of the checks at the end. That's what fantasy football is about. Whatever. Legalized sports gambling will be here within 5 to 10 years. I promise you that. Whether Goodell likes it or whether the NFL doesn't like it. But the Raiders just got $750 million to move to Las Vegas. They got that $750 from the city. A city, Las Vegas, that couldn't afford $14 million to improve their schools and had to raise the number of kids in each classroom. Let's see. We can afford $750 million for a football team, but we can't afford $14 million for our kids in our public schools. That, ladies and gentlemen, is America at its finest. A lot of people buzzing in Oakland. Why should we even watch the Raiders the next couple years? Apparently, the Raiders might possibly move to San Antonio for 2 years. I think they should. I think they should move anywhere because, to be honest with you, only bad things could happen the next 2 years if the Raiders stay in Oakland. I'm just saying.
Stop. Hammer time.
More draft talk. Cleveland says they will not trade the number one pick in this year's draft for a quarterback. I'm sure they won't. A lot of this draft scuttlebutt talk, just like the Patriots saying, oh, we'll never draft Joe Mixon. Oh, yes, you will. If he lasts until the seventh round, I guarantee you you'll draft Joe Mixon. Just like everybody's got a price. Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man, said it the best. Everybody's got a price. You think there's things in your life that you would never do? Someone can offer you enough money to do it. I can promise you that. Just like somebody can offer Cleveland enough value to trade that number one pick. So don't say, I would never trade this pick. Oh, yes, you would. Johnny Manziel met with Sean Payton in New Orleans. Apparently, that's not going to come to fruition. Tony Romo is still on the Cowboys, but says his feelings are hurt because he hasn't been cut yet or traded yet. That is kind of a cheap shot. If you really want to help Tony Romo, you should trade him now. But if you're just looking to screw him over, keep him right up until training camp starts, and then you won't he won't have time to learn the new team he's on. Brilliant by the Cowboys. More NFL. The Giants signed Geno Smith to back up Eli Manning in the offseason and literally said yesterday that they see Geno Smith as the heir apparent, the quarterback in waiting, for Eli when he retires. If you've ever seen Geno Smith play with the Jets, if you've ever looked at his horrible numbers, especially touchdown to interception ratio, this is a laughable statement from the Giants. basically just trying to keep Geno Smith's head involved so that he doesn't check out. Because there's no way on God's green earth Geno Smith will ever be a full-time starting quarterback in the NFL ever again. And he should have been in the first place. And the numbers bear that out completely. Here's a shocking revelation. LaVar Ball, who's been on every media stage imaginable the last couple of weeks, is shopping a reality show and a documentary involving himself and his three sons and his three basketball-playing sons. Wow, I'm shocked he's trying to make money off this. It's amazing, isn't it? Lonzo Ball, the kid who just left UCLA, claims he's a better player than Markelle Fultz, the projected number one overall draft pick. Well, the more I hear out of Lonzo Ball, the crazier I think he is, and the more I think he's just like LaVar Ball. I had more respect for Lonzo Ball when he was keeping his mouth shut, but it's like the old saying goes, 'tis better to keep your mouth shut and let them think you're an idiot than to open your mouth and leave no doubt. I'm paraphrasing that a little, but you understand what I'm saying.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball. Spring training finally wrapping up. Donald Trump's spin already in progress because the Nationals allegedly invited the president to throw out the first pitch on opening day. And as of yesterday morning, he was going to accept it. But on second thought, Trump turned down the Nationals. Something tells me it wasn't only Trump turning down the Nationals. I think he had somebody in his ear, and I think the Nationals regretted it from the start. But Trump said, oh, I can't do that. No. Which is a shame because I would have loved to have seen Donald Trump in a baseball stadium. I was never a George W. Bush fan, but at least after 9/11, he took the mound at Yankee Stadium all by himself. Something tells me Trump would never do that in a million years.
Look at me, I'm Whitey Ford.
Huh?
Twitter was abuzz yesterday when the Milwaukee Brewers dropped their second baseman, Scooter Gennett, and the Reds immediately scooped him up. Let's just look at old Scooter for the last couple years. 933 plate appearances, only 50 walks, on-base percentage 307, that's terrible. OPS 706, that's even more terrible. But wait a minute, those are kind of like the numbers that Brandon Phillips puts up. Hey, at least you saved $14 million. Wait a minute. You're paying the Braves $13 million of that $14 million that Brandon Phillips is making this year. So you're basically paying the same salary for the same player. Great move again by the Reds. Speaking of the Reds, they announced their opening day starting rotation for the first week of the season, and I'm going to go over the names of these people right now. Scott Feldman, Brandon Finnegan, Rookie Davis, Amir Garrett, Bronson Arroyo. Yes, Bronson Arroyo somehow, someway, made the five-man rotation. And when asked about it, Arroyo said, and I quote, I'm right where I want to be. Well, of course you are, because no other team in their right mind would send you out there every fifth day. But I digress. So let me just go over those names again. Feldman, Finnegan, Davis, Garrett, Arroyo. Not exactly Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin from back in the day with the Braves, is it? If you can think of a worse starting rotation in the history of baseball, I would beg you to please, please help me, because I can't think of one. To make room for this great rotation, they sent down Tim Adelman yesterday. Don't know why, he couldn't have been any worse than some of these guys. They also sent down Desmond Jennings, who I thought was actually going to be a decent fourth outfielder for this team. But apparently I'm in the minority because they sent him back down to the minor leagues too. So much for that great offseason signing I thought they made. Unbelievable. This Reds team is going to be lousy.
How many home runs you gonna hit with that?
Let's see, we play 30 games, 10 at-bats a game, 3,000.
The Bovada sports betting website has come up with some prop bets for some of the Reds players. For Joey Votto, can he hit higher than 300, even money? I say yes. Over-under home runs, 25.5. RBIs, 80.5. I'd go over on both those. For Adam Duvall, 27.5 home runs, 85.5 RBIs. Ooh, that would be tough. The numbers say Duvall should get more than that, but I just don't see it. I'm sorry. Eugenio Suarez, the over-unders, 19.5 home runs, 69.5 RBIs. I'll go way under on those. Billy Hamilton, 59.5 stolen bases. I've killed Billy Hamilton on the radio for years. I think this might be the year. The numbers say, especially second half of last year, he finally figured out how to walk. I'll take over 59.5 steals. Anthony DeSclafani, over-under 10 wins, way under. And if you've got the cojones, or the cajones, as my friend would say, will the Reds win the World Series? 200-1. Hey, All you gotta do is put up $100. Put up $100, you get $20,000 if the Reds win the World Series. Yeah, you're still wasting $100. Over under for the Reds, 72 wins. Good God, there's no way. I'm already down on the under on that. But don't worry, Reds fans. Opening day, a mere 5 days away. Monday afternoon.
You're out!
The Isotots lose. Now, to begin my off-season job, follow home robberies. I'll see you in the parking lot, but you won't see me until it's too late.
This will be the first year, seemingly in all of our lifetimes, that Vin Scully will not be announcing the Dodgers opening day. When asked about it, he said, well, I'm not going to watch the game because I'll probably have some things to do. That's the perfect way to look at this. If you're retiring from something you've done basically your entire life, find something else to do. Can you see Vin Scully just going down to Vegas and sitting in the sports book all day betting on baseball games? Smoking a cigar? No, I can't either, but it still would be funny to see.
And that's why anyone who invested with Lenny Dykstra really should call that number. Lawyers are standing by.
We talked yesterday about the Florida softball coach who shoved the Auburn softball player in the arm yesterday. Apparently the coach, Tim Walton, apologized for shoving the player in the arm. But as we predicted yesterday, more information came out about this. Apparently, the reason why Haley Fagan, that's the player's name, the reason why her sisters were kicked off the Florida team was because her sisters were wearing a Native American headdress at a party, and then the photos of that started hitting the social media back in 2012. Oh, and by the way, Haley Fagan, the player, her father's name is Kevin Fagan. If you're an old school NFL fan like me, you may remember Kevin Fagan playing for the 49ers and winning 2 Super Bowls back in the day. So these girls coming from a very athletic family. So am I 100% against the manager and with the player now on this one? Not 100%. I'm still with the player. But the facts show that the reason why her sisters were kicked off the Florida team actually had some legitimacy. Now, it's still ridiculous that in today's day and age, you can't dress up and put a picture on social media without having to lose your job or lose your scholarship or whatever. That's the world we live in. But still, advantage Haley Fagan. If they play again, she should just punch him right in the belly next time they try to shake hands. That'll pay you back, Manager Walton.
I was hoping you and your friends could tell me something about baseball strategy.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.
The city of San Diego, or San Diego, as Ron Burgundy would say, is getting a new Major League Soccer team. And of course, in a lame attempt to drum up attention in the city, the team is asking fans to vote for the new nickname. And among the nickname choices are the San Diego Soul, the Armada, the San Diego Football Club. But the top 3 choices right now are the San Diego Bad Hombres, the San Diego Surf, and the overwhelming winner, Footy McFooty Face. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. When you leave it up to fans and you give ridiculous choices, you should expect ridiculous results. So everyone in Major League Soccer should get ready next year for the Footy McFooty Face team. Brilliant move by San Diego, also known as a whale's vagina. That's not from me, ladies and gentlemen. That's from Ron Burgundy. And whenever you put on that teleprompter, he will read.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
Mac Daddy Stogie Time. Last night, we took a tough loss, taking Cal State Bakersfield to keep it close against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech ran them out of the gym. But let's just be honest. It's tough to find quality underdogs this time of year when you only have like 2 games a night to choose from. But that all changes tonight. It is the CIT semifinals. Always a rip-roaring good time. We have Furman, 23-11 on the season, traveling to St. Peter's, 21-13. When these two teams get together, of course, you can throw out the record books. Can we ask you to please throw out the record books? Against the spread on the year, Furman 17-8, very good. St. Peter's 20-8, also very good. St. Peter's a 4-point favorite. Both these teams have had to go on the road in this tournament to play the last 2 games, and they both pulled out wins as underdogs. But tonight, I'm going to take Furman. If you look at the BPI ratings, Furman is a slightly better team than St. Peter's. Look at the Ken Pomeroy ratings. Furman, a slightly better team than St. Peter's, and you're going to give me 4 points on the road? Give me Furman, another team from South Carolina. Apparently every team in South Carolina wins these days. Give me Furman. Getting 4 points at St. Peter's? I don't want the points. I don't need the points. It's probably a straight-up winner, but I'll take those 4 points. Give me Furman getting 4 against St. Peter's. Your Mac Daddy Stogie of the night, CIT style, baby. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
All right, folks, let's talk right now. I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will blow this man out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners.
And that does it for the Wednesday, March 29th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.